Bless the Lord tonight, amen.
Amen.
He has done great things, amen.
Amen.
I was sitting on the platform and I was thinking, if my father was here tonight, I think all the men that I most greatly respect in this world would be sitting up here tonight, amen. This is my father in the spirit, Pastor Mike McBride. You met him today. But these are my other fathers here, and I thank God for them. My mom and dad were here about 3 years ago, and loved New York and always wanted to come back. And just before we came over for prayer in the square, my father just shared with me, got news from the doctor, said he can never fly again. He's only 65. He's a young man, comparatively, and got chronic influenza, emphysema, and very, very bad blood condition. And I could just see the disappointment in his eyes. He always knew he probably couldn't fly again, couldn't get to New York to hear his son preach from Times Square Church, whatever that would mean for him. But I want to tell you, one day, there's a time coming where every tear will be dried from every eye. Amen. And the former things will pass away. None of us are wrapped in cotton wool. There's no trouble-free paths in life. You may not be looking for trouble, but trouble will come to you. If trouble hasn't come to you, you haven't lived long enough. I want to just very briefly, because the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us all day. We've been privileged to sit in the presence of God. Three wonderful services. Men of God have ministered and broke open the Word of God to us. We've heard testimony here of life-changing, life-transforming work of God. But there's a scripture that's pounding in my heart, and I'm going to try to bring it in a clear way to those of you who have never heard the gospel, but I want you to turn with me to Psalm 42. It may be an unusual scripture for some of us for an evangelistic service, but this is what God has laid on my heart. I'm not going to take a lot of time over this scripture because I feel God is already doing the work in the hearts here tonight. And this is a psalm written about David when he was going through one of the greatest trials of his life. It was written, it wasn't written by David, it was written about David, depicting how he felt, the trauma that he'd gone through, the betrayal that he felt. And he writes this psalm was written of him, and it says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before you, God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Now, I don't know about you, but I've often asked that question, where are you, God? Even 35 years a Christian, 14 or 15 of those as a pastor, I've had many moments in my life where I have cried out, where are you, God? I can't hear your voice. I can't sense your presence. David knew what this was. Solomon said, as surely as sparks fly upwards, man is born to trouble. After a while, everything begins to become dull and dreary. You've done it. New York is wonderful for us to come and visit, but after a couple of times, even the sparkle of the Big Apple begins to fade. The accolades of men, money, the pleasures of this life, you heard it by Brother Caesar tonight, all become like sawdust in the mouth. There's no pleasure in them. And here's David. He's a great man of God. He's a believer. And he's in a place where he testifies that my tears have been my food day and night. And I believe by the Holy Spirit that there's people here that have come into this church today, and behind the mask, you have cradled up at night time in your bed, and your tears have been your food. On the outset, you have it together. Everything seems to be good. You're prospering. You shouldn't be as you are. Others here, it's been the most miserable time of your life, and you're in a time of great despair, and you can't see beyond the darkness. And this is a man of God. This is a believer man. You know, we Christians are warned in the scripture that every man that seeks to serve Christ will suffer persecution. But we're also promised that we're not going to be alone in that time. See, trouble comes to everybody, but woe to the man that's on his own at that time. Where neither your family or your friends, your loved ones, your wife, your children, your job, your position, your buddies, your health, none of these will bring comfort to you in a time of trouble. And David may well have been in a place where he couldn't hear the voice of God or couldn't feel his presence, but I tell you one thing I know of David from reading his works. He may not have known where God was, but God knew where he was. And I want to tell you tonight, you may be asking, well, where is God in my trouble? I want to tell you, God is right where he always was. Amen. He's sitting upon that throne tonight, ready to reach out to you, always reaching out to you. Now, maybe tonight, he's got your ear. Maybe through this trauma and these troubles in your life have brought you to a place where you're ready to hear what he has to say. The Bible says, whoever has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. See, God speaks on a much deeper level than just mere words. The words of preachers can fall to the ground, but when God speaks to you, it's a word that you will never forget. You heard that this afternoon. When God speaks, you never forget those words. And David is in a place where he has faced a tremendous trauma in his own personal life. His own son has tried to kill him. He's running for his life. He loves his son. He doesn't hate his son. He loves his son. He's been disappointed. He's a king of a nation. He's got the call of God in his life, but none of that satisfies him. He's now in a place where only God can answer and only God can come right. I'm telling you, if you've never gone to that place, you will go to that place. And I love his way through. See, I believe there's a cry that God can't resist. I believe there's a cry that comes from a person that God can't resist. Now, I don't know if any of you had the privilege of having children, but children have when you have a child and you have a baby, we've had four boys. My oldest boy is 20 years old. My youngest is just going on 13. They all love the Lord Jesus Christ. They're a treasure to our heart. But when they were born, I'm telling you, every one of them had a cry. And there's something about a baby's cry. You have to answer it. You just can't leave them cry. It becomes annoying. It becomes disorientating. You have to shut this thing up. I know all about that. Every 2 hours, she fed the first one. I thank God I didn't have to feed it. We get nothing out of me that time. But there's a cry in that baby. But, you know, I believe there's a cry from us babies as well that God will always hear. And David got to such a place of despair. And I really believe that that despair has to come into the life before you really become born again. I've spoken to audiences and Christian people, young people throughout my nation. And I've seen people give God a go, have a try at this gospel, and it never works that way. But I've seen people who are so fed up with their sin, so fed up with their life, so in darkness, so in despair of life itself. They have everything that life had to offer, but now we're at a place where there was a cry, a deep down cry. And I want to tell you, that's the cry that God will always answer. God will always hear that sort of a cry in the heart of a man or a woman. And David gives us a glimpse in verse 6. He says, oh my God, why is my soul so cast down within me? He says, I will remember you and the land of Jordan and from the heights of Hermon and from the hill of Mizar. And he says this verse, and there's many, many interpretations to this verse, but I'm going to tell you what I think this verse means here. He says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. Here's David. He is in the depths of despair. But I want to tell you, when you're in the depths of despair, you can cry out to the depths that are in God. And God will hear you. And David knew there was no such thing, no such place as a God-forsaken place, country, or person. And no matter how despairing you feel in your heart tonight, beloved, no matter how low you may be, all you need to do is cry out to God tonight from the depths of your depression. Call to the depths that are in God, and God will answer you. He says it, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. I want to encourage you. You've heard men and women come here today, and we are surrounded by a church, a cloud of great witnesses, of people who can testify to the same story, the same old story, coming to an end of the life as they know it, coming to a place of great turmoil in their own personal experiences, crying out from the depths of despair, only to have a God who comes with compassion and mercy. Hallelujah. You know, God knows your name. I said, God knows your name. Do you know, God speaks about you. He talks about you. He loves you. And he sees you now in this place, in the valley of decision. But I'm going to give you an opportunity tonight to get to know him in a life-transforming way. But I caution you, it's not for the faint cry he calls. It's not for the one that just comes forward and says, well, I'll give it a go. You have to be at a place tonight in your heart where you are ready to cry out to God. I'm talking about cry those tears and call out to him and say, Almighty God, I need you in my life. I need you to change me. I need you to do the work in my life like you did in these other brothers and sisters around me. I promise you tonight, not I, but the scripture says, any man who calls upon the name of the Lord, any woman tonight that calls out, see, that's that deep calling to deep. You're in deep trouble, but there's a deeper God tonight around you. God hasn't forgotten you. He knows exactly where you are. And he's ready to come to you. And he's ready to lift you. And he's ready to bring a new life tonight. That's why we call it the gospel. The gospel is the power of God that comes to the brokenhearted, that comes to the injured. He didn't come to save the righteous. He didn't come to save the man that thinks he's good enough or strong enough. He came to those people who are at the edge of despair of life itself. God knows your name. He knew you before you were knit together in your mother's womb. He made a plan for you. And David knows, as a godly man, he can't hear the voice of that God at that time. Everything is drowning around him. But he's never denying that God knows him. And God sees him. And that's all you have to acknowledge tonight. I may not be able to see God and touch God, but I must believe that God sees me. You know, the most incredible thing, I grew up in a family of 10 children. And I had a mum and dad that loved us, and I felt like I was loved like an only child. Yet there was 10 of us. I want to tell you tonight, you are loved as if you were an only child. That's how God sees you. That's why this relationship, it has to be personal. Not religious. I grew up in a religion that I went through ritual and I gave everything a go to see if it would work. That's not a cry. That's a lucky dip. But if you are at a place in your spirit where David was, and where every man and woman must go if they're to be saved, God will save you tonight. Something of heaven will pop into your soul. Something of heaven will burst light and life into your life. You know, when we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're not talking about some sort of magical words. We're not talking about some sort of ritual. We're not talking about some sort of religious behavior. We're talking about the Spirit of Almighty God coming down into the depths of your deprivation and your depression and your fear and meeting your need and lifting you up into a heavenly place. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a God that can change your life. That is why we can look you in the eye, and it's not a hard sell, I can tell you, that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you're feeling lost tonight, it's because you don't know him. If you're feeling in despair tonight, it's because you don't know him. And he invites you to come. And he simply says, if any man, any woman hears my voice and open the door of their heart. Now listen to this. The Holy Spirit will come in and you will be born from above. In that very instant in time, you will be brought into the kingdom of God. You will be like a little seed just popping through the soil. In time, that seed is going to grow into a great, great plant. There's going to be fruit upon it, and people are going to see a testimony from darkness to life. I pray for you tonight. You may have come with a friend. Your marriage may be in trouble. Maybe your own son is threatening you. Maybe you just live like David. Maybe old people here, I've had old people in my church and their children used to beat on them. Maybe you're wounded. Maybe you're confused. Cry out like David did, like deep, calling to deep. Call out from the very point of where you are tonight. Cry out to him, because that's a cry he'll not deny. I want to say to you again, he'll not deny that cry. That cry is precious to him. That cry is precious to him. He wants to save you and set you free. You know, there was another time when Jesus, the Lord Jesus himself, stood at Jerusalem and watched, looked over Jerusalem, and he wept, it says. He wept. And he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you like a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not come. I pray tonight that will not be your testimony. I pray tonight that you will stand on your feet if God is drawing you and you want to be made right with God. Regardless of who's watching you, who sees you, who knows you, who doesn't know you, that you come to God admitting your need and cry out to him to forgive your sins and to change your life. And God will work a miracle. The greatest miracle you've ever seen in your life is a changed life. You know, folks, they'll find a cure one day, maybe for cancer, if they're around long enough, and for AIDS and arthritis and all these things. But they'll never find a cure for a broken spirit. A wounded spirit. Will you stand with me tonight? Because I feel there's some here. I felt it in my heart all day today. There's some here. And you are drinking your tears at night time. But you're going to leave with different tears today. You're going to leave with tears of joy. Because God is going to meet with you. And God's going to pour his love upon your life. You're going to feel the love of God wrap around you. Like never before. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you like a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not come. So one more invitation for you tonight. Come unto me, Jesus said, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you need rest? Do you need peace? I invite you to come to this altar tonight. We're going to worship the Lord and we're going to pray. God is going to meet you here when you come forward in faith. I invite you, come right now. You want to be right with God? Leave your seat. Come, we'll pray together. You will leave this house a part of the body of Jesus Christ and the life of God will flow through you. Maybe one day you'll testify behind this pulpit or another pulpit or on the street corner about a God who set you free from the powers of darkness, took your despair, took your tears, wiped them all, took the tear from your eye. I invite you to come. This salvation is free. You know, there's others here, you're Christians, and you've been going through the darkest time of your life. If you're around us Irish pastors long enough, we love to have a joke, just the way we are. We laugh and joke. But we also have our troubles and our traumas. I know what it is to see troubles in my own life, in my own family. But I want you also to come to this altar. If you're at that place where you have had no breakthrough yet, and you're constantly crying out to God, I feel in my heart tonight God's going to hear your cry tonight.
Amen.
You must cry from the depths of your depression to the depths that are in Christ. Because he's there. Willing and ready and able to set you free. To comfort you. To comfort all who mourn in Zion. Hallelujah. He is the comforter, you know. He's the Holy Spirit. He is the comforter. Hallelujah. Let's worship for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. I know there's some here and you're carrying unimaginable burdens. Unimaginable burdens. Only God knows the trauma, the life you've lived. Sin that has visited you and how you visited others with the same sin. You've carried things in your spirit, carried condemnation on your shoulder all your life. But that's not the will of God for you now. God hears the cry. God hears the cry. That's one cry he will always respond to. And if you're at this altar because you're not because of anybody else, but because you have a cry in your heart, I want you to grow in confidence right now. You're in a good place. That things will actually change now. Because I'm at a place of reality with God. There's a song we used to sing, "Oh love that will not let me go." God will not let you go. He's not going to forsake you. Even when you have a bad day. Some of you, even 5 minutes after you've been at this altar, the enemy's going to come back and say, "Well, where's God now?" You say, "I don't know, but he knows where I am." Amen. Amen. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Amen. Amen. Why? Because I'm still walking with Jesus. Now, you need to hold on to his hand if this is the first time in your life that you have ever come to this altar to become a Christian. You need to make this prayer the most sincerest prayer you've ever prayed. We give you words, but you have to make them your words. You have to make them your words. If you want to use your own words, I'll give other words. But if you want to make your own, God will hear your cry. But I'm going to give you very simple words because really, in your own heart, you must know what's going on here. You're relinquishing authority in your life. You're handing this life over to God and say, "You now are my new head. Here's the steering wheel, Jesus. I'm so sorry for my sin and all the mess I've got myself into. I'm giving you my life." That's not just now, that's forever. I'm going to tell you the small print. It's forever, it's not just now. But if you give him your life, he will give you his life. And you will live the life of another. And that's an overcoming life. And that's a life Jesus went through this life and he overcame every sin and temptation of the devil. And that's the life he's going to give to you, a whole new nature. And it's going to grow just like a little baby does. And you'll have many other crying sessions before God. But it won't be from this position that I'm not right with God. It's from I'm now right with God. The Holy Spirit will come and he will water you. He'll feed you in the milk of the word. As you keep coming to church and you keep on praying, keep in fellowship, keep reading the word of God. You'll grow, you'll grow, you'll grow, you'll grow. God will have a testimony from your life. The enemy thought he had you, but Jesus set you free. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now let's pray. I want you to pray like you've never prayed before. See, we don't want you coming up here, and you don't want to be up here going back to the old way of behavior. So if you pray this right with all your heart, God hears you. God will save you, and I will put my hand out and say, "Welcome to the body of Jesus Christ, brother and sister." But you need to come in the door now. The door is this. Dear Jesus, my life's a mess. I've made my own mess. There's nobody to blame but me. I've made those decisions. I can blame others, but that's not right. I take responsibility for what I've done, Lord. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for the mess I'm in. I'm sorry for the mess I've caused. I'm sorry for running from you. And I ask you to forgive me. There's so much sin, Lord, I don't know where to start. But God, can you just hear this one cry? Forgive me tonight. Come into my life supernaturally. And do a supernatural work in me. Do in my life like you did for others. Don't pass me by tonight, Lord. I cry out to you from the depths of my despair. And I cry out to you for life. I thank you, Lord, you love me. And I thank you at Calvary, you've shown me that love. And I open my heart so wide. And I give you the last of what's left. Will you please restore me? And will you please have a testimony out of my life? I pray I will not die without giving a great testimony to your name. I want to live for you now, Jesus. Help me to do that. I don't even know how to do it. But Lord, if you're going to come in now, I know you'll teach me. And I know you'll show me. And I thank you for hearing me. And I want to say for the first time, I love you, Jesus. And I always want to love you. And I thank you for loving me. I'm not lovable, but you love me. And I praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Now, you know, there's other people in the soldier tonight that are Christians. You've just joined the family of God. So I want you to pray with me now for these people that are going through a trauma in their life. Some of them have got sicknesses. Some of them have heard a bad report from a doctor and they're worried about it. Some of them have family members under great trauma and problems. So I know God's going to hear your prayer immediately, even more so than mine, because you're just fresh out of the water. Amen. And you are, this new life has begun within you. So God's going to hear your prayer. Let's pray for those at the altar who are Christians and are going through a difficult time. The nice thing about this is that when we go through our difficult time, they're going to be praying for us. Amen. Amen. Now let's ask God for them. Father, we ask, Lord, for your children that are at this altar. Some of them have been walking many years, Lord, and they've gone through a valley of tears, Lord. There's traumas upon them, Lord, burdens, Lord God, that only they know and you know, Lord. And we as the church, Lord, intercede for them, Lord, that you would hear their cry tonight. And you would comfort them in Zion, Lord. And you would show them, Lord God, that they're not abandoned. And Lord, that you know them, Lord, and you know where they are, Lord, and you're working the purpose in their life, Lord. And I pray you give them such fresh faith to stand again on your word, Lord God. Just as the psalmist said, Lord, put my hope in God, for I will yet praise him. And I pray, Lord, that this hope will rise up in them to eternal life, Lord God. And that they will sing your praises, Lord, regardless of the darkness, Lord. Even if the circumstance doesn't change, Lord. That there will be such a blessed hope in them, Father God. The hope of glory, Lord God. The hope, Lord God, of a resurrected life, Lord, to walk with you forever in heaven, Lord. I pray you comfort them, Lord, with these words today, Lord. And I thank you for the body of Times Square Church, Lord. I thank you for all these new believers, these broken men and women, Lord, that you have now healed, oh God. And you are turning their lives around, and they'll be preachers, they'll be pastors, Lord. There's going to be evangelists and missionaries, Lord God. There's going to be husbands and wives and fathers, Lord God. There's going to be friends here, Lord God, that will go forth to a sin-sick world and bring the very love of Christ, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that our lives matter now. That we've got a call, each and every one of us upon us, to bring forth your world to this crushed, your love to this crushed world, oh God. We thank you for hearing us tonight. We thank you for the glory of God that's here. And Lord, you have turned our tears of sorrow into tears of joy because we are forgiven. And we are washed. And we are clean. And the blood has taken away every sin. Hallelujah. Taken away every sin. Hallelujah. Now you have to thank God for his forgiveness. You just say, God, is it like this? Yes, I'm forgiven. Now thank him. That's the first step of faith. So I want every hand going like this. Say, thank you, Jesus. Keep those hands up and say, thank you, Jesus. It's the first step of faith when you say, thank you. He says, here's my life. You say, thank you. And when you say, thank you, the Holy Spirit begins to augment it in your heart. I'm actually forgiven. Wow. Welcome to the body of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the church of Jesus Christ. Let's praise God tonight. Amen. He brought me in. Hallelujah. Praise God.